So, we're continuing chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And I think it's time for a Quidditch match. Harry and the rest of the Gryffindor team entered the Great Hall the next day to enormous applause. Harry couldn't help grinning broadly as he saw that both the Ravenclaw and Slytherin teams were applauding them too. The
Wait.
Sorry, tables were applauding them too.
Wait, who was applauding who?
The Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff tables were applauding the Gryffindor team.
Oh, you said Slytherin.
Sorry. The Slytherin table hissed loudly as they passed. Malfoy looked even paler than usual. Wood spent the whole of breakfast urging his team to eat while touching nothing himself. Then he hurried them off to the field before anyone else had finished, so they could get an idea of the conditions. As they left the great hall, everyone applauded again. "Good luck, Harry," called Cho. Harry felt himself blushing. "Okay, no wind to speak of. Sun's a bit bright. That could impair your vision. Watch out for it. Ground's fairly hard. Good. That'll give us fast kickoff." That was awful.
He was pretty good. It's okay.
Wood paced the field, staring around with the team behind him. Finally, they saw the front doors of the castle open in the distance, and the rest of the school spilling onto the lawn. "Locker rooms," said Wood tersely. None of them spoke as they changed into their scarlet robes. Harry wondered if they were feeling like he was, as though he'd eaten something extremely wriggly for breakfast. In what seemed like no time at all, Wood was saying, "Okay, it's time. Let's go." They walked out onto the field to a tidal wave of noise. Three quarters of the crowd was wearing scarlet rosettes, waving scarlet flags with a Gryffindor lion upon them, or
Yeah,
brandishing.
you can totally tell that the Slytherin people are like the bad guys.
I know, it's so
Like
weird.
the entire school like hates them.
It doesn't make any sense, to be honest, right? Like, why don't.
Yeah, she should have made it a little more like there's like a conflict, like of people going over to the side, you know what I
Right,
mean?
exactly. It's too.
One-sided.
Yeah, a quarter of the students are evil, like, really? That's not. Yeah. You know, okay, anyways, behind the Slytherin goalposts.
And like also, couldn't it be like a mixed bag? Like, couldn't there be Slytherins who aren't that bad? You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, and supposedly, like, she often, like, says stuff like there are, but none of the descriptions she has of Slytherin. Remember in the very beginning of the first book, she talks about
Yes.
Slytherin and they're all like, who value like power above anything else or something like that.
It was, they'll do anything
Yeah.
to get. You know, they'll be go by any means.
Yeah.
That sly lot or something.
Exactly. And it's like, I mean, they should just use a sorting hat for who to not allow into the school.
Exactly. Slytherin equals not going in.
Right. Oh man, it's ridiculous.
But then again, you know, it's like if they have the power to teach these bad kids. You know what I mean? Well, like, and Snape isn't bad. You
Yeah,
know what I mean?
he's like the one that's not bad. But I don't know. Like, most of the students end up working for
And, like,
Voldemort.
okay, well, let me just make an argument for this. Like, they do have, like, by having influence over the bad kids, they get to instill like a conscience within them. Like even Malfoy has a conscience.
Sort of.
Well, he doesn't kill anyone.
I know,
So.
I know. He wants to, though.
Well, but he doesn't. You know
I know.
what I mean? He's not truly evil.
He's pretty bad.
But he's not evil.
I guess not. Yeah.
And it's like, Wormtail was in Gryffindor, and he was, like, evil.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is a little bit of a mixed bag, but it's way too one-sided.
No, but I'm saying that, like, it's way too crystal clear, but, more variety would be better.
Yeah. And there's...
It would make it more exciting.
Yeah. And their mascot shouldn't be a snake, and their color shouldn't be yellow. I mean, seriously?
It's green.
Or green.
They're silver and green.
Oh, okay.
Hufflepuff is yellow.
Hufflepuff is yellow?
Yeah, they're canary yellow.
Here we go, Slytherin
is
green.
And Ravenclaw is blue, and Gryffindor is crimson.
How do you know this?
I like these books.
Okay. Behind the Slytherin goalposts, however, 200 people were wearing green. The silver serpent of Slytherin glittered on their flags.
Told you.
And Professor Snape sat in the very front row, wearing green like everyone else, and a very grim smile. And here are the...
a grim smile?
I don't know. Pursing his lips, maybe. And here are the Gryffindors, yelled Lee Jordan, who is acting as commentator, as usual. Potter, Bell, Johnson, Spinett, Weasley, and Wood. Widely acknowledged as the best team Hogwarts has seen in a few years. Lee's comments were drowned up by a tide of boos from the Slytherin end. And here comes the Slytherin team, led by Captain Flint. He's made some changes in the lineup, and seems to be going for size rather than skill. More boos from the Slytherin crowd. Harry thought, however, that Lee had a point. Malfoy was easily the smallest person on the Slytherin team. The rest of them were enormous. Captains, shake hands, said Madame Hooch. Flint and Wood approached each other and grasped each other's hands very tightly. It looked as though they were trying to break each other's fingers. Mount your brooms, said Madame Hooch. 3, 2, 1. The sound of her whistle was lost in the roar from the crowd, as 14 brooms rose into the air. Are you nervous? It'll turn out okay.
I want Harry to win.
It'll turn out okay, I promise.
Really? No, it won't. They're going to lose. He's going to get... I know, like, there's going to be a bludger that hits him or something.
Harry felt his hair fly back off his forehead. His nerves left him in the thrill of the flight. He glanced around, saw Malfoy on his tail, and sped off in search of the snitch. And it's Gryffindor in possession. Alicia Spinett of Gryffindor with a quaffle, heading straight for the Slytherin goalposts. Looking good, Alicia. Ooh, Lee Jordan, eh? I think he meant...
Well, you know he's like one of the Weasley's friends, right?
Is he?
Yeah, he's like best friends with the Weasley twins.
Oh, yeah. So you think he joins in?
Gross. They're like wingmen to each other.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I mean? They're like Jersey Shore.
Oh, good. Do the Jersey Shore people ever double team?
Sure.
I mean, do they talk about it?
I don't know. But I really doubt that, like, Fred and George would actually do that. They're kind of a little more classy.
I don't know, Boo. They're probably classy, but I'll bet that they have tricked girls into starting with one of them and finishing with the other.
No, I think that they would find that too gross.
I don't think so. I think they would find that hilarious.
No.
Quaffle intercepted by Warrington of Slytherin, tearing up the field. Nice bludger work there by George Weasley. Warrington drops the quaffle. It's caught by Johnson. Gryffindor back in possession. Nice swerve by around Montague. She scores 10-0. This is silly. Why? Her writing is awful.
I hate you. I keep going.
10-0 to Gryffindor. Yay!
Jesse.
Angelina punched the air as she soared around the end of the field. The Scarlet...
Told you Jersey Shore.
What?
She did a fist pump. Yeah.
The sea of scarlet below was screaming its delight. Ouch! Angelina was nearly thrown off her broom as Marcus Flint went smashing into her. Sorry, said Flint as the crowd booed. Sorry, I didn't see her. A moment later, Fred Weasley chucked his beater's club at the back of Flint's head. Flint's nose smashed into the handle of his broom and began to bleed.
Nice.
That will do, shrieked Madam Hooch, zooming between them. Penalty shot to Gryffindor for an unprovoked attack on their chaser. Penalty shot to Slytherin for deliberate damage to their chaser. Come off it, miss, howled Fred, but Madam Hooch blew her whistle, and Alicia flew forward to take the penalty. Come on, Alicia, yelled Lee into the silence. He should totally be fired.
I don't think they pay him.
Yeah. It descended on the crowd. Yes, she's beaten the keeper. 20-0 to Gryffindor. Harry turned the firebolt sharply to watch Flint, still bleeding freely, fly forward to take the Slytherin penalty. Wood was hovering in front of the Gryffindor goalposts, his jaw clenched. Of course, Wood's a superb keeper, Lee Jordan told the crowd as Flint waited for Madam Hooch's whistle. Superb, very difficult to pass, very difficult indeed. Yes, I don't believe it, he's saved it. Relieved, Harry zoomed away, gazing around for the snitch, but still making sure he caught every word of Lee's commentary. It was essential that he hold up Malfoy off the snitch until Gryffindor was up more than 50 points. Gryffindor in possession, no, Slytherin possession, no, Gryffindor back in possession, it's Katie Bell for Gryffindor with Quaffle. She's streaking up the field. That was deliberate. Montague, a Slytherin chaser, had swerved in front of Katie, and instead of seizing the Quaffle and grabbing her hand, Katie cartwheeled in the air, managed to stay on her broom, but dropped the Quaffle. You know, for all of Lee's commentary, he could actually announce what the hell's going on, as opposed to making the omniscient narrator.
Speaking of commentating, that there's a little bit too much of that happening right now from your end, sir.
Madam Hooch's whistle rang out again as she sewed over to Montague and began shouting at him. A minute later, Katie had put another penalty past the Slytherin keeper. 30-0, take that, you dirty cheating! Jordan, if you can't commentate in an unbiased way... Commentate? Isn't it comment? Anyways, I'm telling it like it is, Professor. Harry felt a huge jolt of excitement. He had seen the snitch. It was shimmering at the foot of one of the Gryffindor goalposts. But he mustn't catch it yet, and if Malfoy saw it... Faking a look of sudden concentration, Harry pulled his firebolt around and sped off toward the Slytherin end. It worked. Malfoy went herring after him, clearly thinking Harry had seen the snitch there. Whoosh! One of the bludgers came streaking past Harry's right ear, hit by a gigantic Slytherin beater, Derek. Then again, whoosh! A second bludger grazed Harry's elbow. The other beater, Bowl, was closing in. Harry had a fleeting glimpse of Bowl and Derek zooming towards him, clubs raised. He turned the firebolt upward at the last second, and Bowl and Derek collided with a sickening crunch. Ah, yelled Lee Jordan as the Slytherin beaters lurched away from each other, clutching their heads. Too bad, boys. You'll need to get up earlier than that to beat a firebolt. And it's Gryffindor in possession again as Johnson takes the Quaffle, Flint alongside her. Poke him in the eye, Angelina. It was a joke, Professor. It was a joke. Oh, no. Flint in possession. Flint flying toward the Gryffindor goalpost. Come on now. Wood safe. But Flint had scored. There was an eruption of cheers from the Slytherin end, and Lee swore so badly that Professor McGonagall tried to tug the magical microphone away from him. Sorry, Professor. Won't happen again. So, Gryffindor in the lead. 30 points to 10. And Gryffindor in possession. It was turning into the dirtiest game Harry had ever played in. Enraged that Gryffindor had taken an early lead, the Slytherins were rapidly resorting to any means to take the Quaffle. Bull hit Alicia with his club and tried to say he thought she was a bludger. George Weasley elbowed Bull in the face in retaliation. Madam Hooch awarded both teams penalties, and Wood pulled off another spectacular save, making the score 40-10 for Gryffindor. The snitch had disappeared again. Malfoy was still creeping close to Harry as he soared over the match, looking around for it. Once Gryffindor was 50 points ahead, Katie scored. 50-10. Fred and George Weasley were swooping around her, clubs raised, in case any of the Slytherins were thinking of revenge. Bull and Derek took advantage of Fred's and George's absence to aim both bludgers at Wood. They caught him in the stomach, one after the other. He rolled over in the air, clutching his broom, completely winded. Madam Hooch was beside herself. You do not attack the keeper unless the Quaffle is within the scoring area, she shrieked at Bull and Derek. Gryffindor penalty. And Angelina scored. Moments later, Fred Weasley pelted a bludger at Warrington, knocking the quaffle out of his hands. Alicia seized it and put it through the Slytherin goal, 70-10. The Gryffindor crowd below was screaming itself hoarse. Gryffindor was 60 points in the lead, and if Harry caught the snitch now... The cup was theirs. Harry could almost feel hundreds of eyes following him as he soared around the field, high above the rest of the game, with Malfoy speeding around behind him. Then he saw it. The snitch was sparkling 20 feet above him. Harry put on a burst of speed. The wind was roaring in his ears. He stretched out his hand. But suddenly, the firebolt was slowing down. Horrified, he looked around. Malfoy had thrown himself forward and grabbed hold of the firebolt's tail and was pulling it back. You... Harry was angry enough to hit Malfoy, but couldn't reach. Malfoy was panting with the effort of holding onto the firebolt, but his eyes were sparkling maliciously. He'd achieved what he'd wanted to do. The snitch had disappeared again. Penalty! Penalty to Gryffindor! Madame Hooch screeched. I've never seen such tactics. And she shot up to where Malfoy was sliding back onto his Nimbus 2001. You cheating scum! Lee Jordan was howling into the megaphone, dancing out of Professor McGonagall's reach. You filthy cheating! Professor McGonagall didn't even bother to tell him off. She was actually shaking her finger in Malfoy's direction. Her hat had fallen off, and she too was shouting furiously. Alicia took Gryffindor's penalty, but she was so angry that she missed by several feet. The Gryffindor team was losing concentration, and the Slytherins, delighted by Malfoy's foul on Harry, were being spurred on to greater heights. Slytherin in possession, Slytherin heading for the goal. Montague scores! Lee groaned, 70-20 to Gryffindor. Harry was now marking Malfoy so close that their knees kept hitting each other. Harry wasn't going to let Malfoy anywhere near the snitch. Get out of it, Potter! Yelled Malfoy in frustration as he tried to turn and found Harry blocking him again. Angelina Johnson gets the quaffle for Gryffindor. Come on, Angelina, come on! Harry looked around. Every single Slytherin player, apart from Malfoy, was streaking up the pitch toward Angelina, including the Slytherin keeper. They were all going to block her. Harry wheeled around the firebolt around, bent so low that he was lying flat along the handle, and kicked it forward. Like a bullet, he shot toward the Slytherins. Ah! They scattered as the firebolt zoomed towards them. Angelina's way was clear. She scores! She scores! Gryffindor leaped by 80 points to 20. Harry, who was almost pelted headlong into the sands, skidded to a halt in midair, reversed, and zoomed back into the middle of the field. And then he saw something that made his heart stand still. Malfoy was diving, a look of triumph on his face. There, a few feet above the grass below, was a tiny golden glimmer. Harry urged the firebolt downward, but Malfoy was miles ahead. Go, 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 Harry urged his broom. He was gaining on Malfoy. Harry flattened himself to the broom handle as Bowl sent a bludger at him. He was at Malfoy's ankles. He was level. Harry threw himself forward, took both hands off his broom. He knocked Malfoy's arm out of the way, and he pulled out of his dive, his hand in the air, and the stadium exploded. Harry soared above the crowd, an odd ringing in his ears. The tiny golden ball was held tight in his fist, beating its wings hopelessly against his fingers. Then Wood was speeding toward him, half blinded by tears. He seized Harry around the neck and sobbed unrestrainedly into his shoulder. Harry felt two large thumps as Fred and George hit them. Then Angelina's, Alicia's, and Katie's voices. We've won the cup! We've won the cup! Tangled together in a many-armed hug, the Gryffindor team sank, yelling hoarsely, back to earth. Wave upon wave of crimson supporters was pouring over the barriers onto the field. Hands were raining down on their backs. Harry had a confused impression of noise and bodies pressed on him. Then he and the rest of the team were hoisted into the shoulders of the crowd. Thrust into the light, he saw Hagrid, plastered with crimson rosettes. You beat him, Harry, you beat him! Wait till I tell Buckbeak! There was Percy jumping up and down like a maniac, all dignity forgotten. Professor McGonagall was sobbing harder than even Wood, wiping her eye with an enormous Gryffindor flag. And there, fighting their way towards Harry, was Ron and Hermione. Words failed them. They simply beamed as Harry was borne towards the stands, where Dumbledore sat waiting with the enormous Quidditch cup. If only there had been a Dementor around. As a sobbing Wood passed Harry the cup, as he lifted into the air, Harry felt he could have produced the world's best Patronus. And that's the end of chapter 15. And next we'll read Professor Trelawney's prediction. Yay! He won the cup!
I'm so happy.
Yay! Oh, man.
Okay. I love you.
I love you so much. Yo, let me say goodnight to you in the recording voice. I love you so much, boo. And you'll always be able to listen to this one for the time they won the cup. I'll bet you're going to listen to this one a lot, aren't you? I love you so much, boo. You're the sweetest girl ever. Goodnight, boo.